almost didn't throw the white flag. I was going to give you one more lap.
The 9 running on the tires. He'll slide up off of turn number 4, Jerry. You've got a new race leader, Matthew Loeb. Your race leader with 4 laps to go.
All right. He told me to tell that joke.
Hey, welcome back. It's episode 15, where today we're going to learn so many important things as Jim is going to show us how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
You got it. Does he have one with him?
Jesus Christ. Hey, thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Jim's got to go. It'll be the best one yet.
Did you guys rehearse that?
Or no, but I was watching TV last night, and I saw that old Tootsie Pop and the owl commercial like
one,
four
two,
times.
Three. Crunch.
And it reminded me of like the way he talked. It was like that Magoo guy from Super Nationals with the funny hat.
Uh-huh.
And the bottle of wine back
here. It's been a minute since we've talked, Jerry. What can we do to add another minute to that?
The cabbie Jim in that picture.
That's right.
Yeah, look at that.
Jim's got a bottle of wine.
Can you get tuned in on this picture of Jim there?
Look a bottle
the
of wine?
Yeah, he's look at the way he looks at it. It's like, hmm. I must drink another one of these again. Yeah.
That is my sitting under the bridge drinking a bottle of wine.
You nailed it.
That was after he climbed out of his sleeping tent at Super Nationals.
He showed up to Super Nationals with that hat this year, and I didn't even recognize him.
That's it.
He went by me twice, and I was like,
who the hell is that?
To protect you from the sun or to hide from people incognito?
Yeah.
Look like Jim Backus, Mr. Magoo.
Exactly.
We called him Magoo all week.
Yeah, and then he took the hat off and then didn't work.
We still called him Magoo, though.
It was based on the weather. When we went from summer to fall, then back into spring weather.
So that was your summer hat.
That was my summer
hat. So your fall and spring hat were the same hat.
No, because I went stocking hat one day, I think, and then into the other hat.
It's Mr. Magoo hat.
Yeah.
I like the Magoo look.
I did. I
thought it was fitting.
Yeah. It made you look like the crotchety old grumpy cranky man that you are.
See, he dressed for the occasion.
He did. He played the role well.
Come on. It's a newer, kinder, gentler, happier Jim.
That ended January 2nd. You and New Year's resolutions didn't work real well, Jim.
Oh God. Let's talk about important shit.
It's been about 3 weeks since our last podcast. 2.5.
In a lot of people's minds, days. Not quite long
days.
Enough.
Yes. October 9th.
And a lot's happened.
It has. We've actually made our champions official.
Yes. So what we told you last time
is now official.
Was
now
who official. We thought it. Might be the national champions.
We meant it this time. Even the dogs really agree.
Even the dogs agree. They're like, yeah, it's official.
I stepped on one.
One bark means yes.
There it is.
on cue.
Go, Brett.
You trained them well.
Yes, we trained them to bark at people. See?
Hey.
So one bark means yes, and two barks means yes.
Let me out of the room.
So we can officially sit here and say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know our national champions right now.
We do. Yeah.
Did they change from last time?
They have
not. Well, we're going to keep you in suspense.
So you have to show up Thanksgiving weekend and Lincoln to figure out who they are? Is that what you're saying? Invitations have been sent out.
They have. Yesterday.
You got one, Jerry?
I got one yesterday in the mail.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
See, I told you I was normally in the conversation when it comes to inviting promoters.
I appreciate it. It said, love, Jim. Open this envelope, and in that envelope was $500. So, I mean, I appreciate that $500 invitation.
You did get the right invitation to the banquet on Christmas Eve in Minot, North Dakota. Because that's when we
now moved. This one was actually on Christmas Day in Maui. So
you show up, we'll all be there waiting for you.
I bet you won't.
So Baca got it done in the mods
with four track championships.
Yeah, three. I think he's the only person to get four. I think, if my notes are correct.
Where did he? Do you have the list of the tracks?
I do.
Central Arizona, Cocopa,
and Deuce of Clubs. But then he also won the stock car track championship as well at the Deuce of Clubs. So he multi-division for
that one. I wouldn't have gotten that.
No, so he's fast in two cars.
He's just fast.
Yeah.
Very good. And he led the points, you know, for essentially the whole year.
Oh, yeah.
He was good out of the gate.
Yeah, he was it.
We
had 1 point leader all year.
I don't
know. Chaz Baca.
I might have that some of that information on.
Has it happened before? It hasn't happened in recent memory.
Well, nine times out of ten, he usually leads points till about June.
But this year,
he led her all the way through.
He did. No, he didn't. Tim Ward, I think, led the first month out of Kokopah.
Yeah, because he had more wins.
That's true.
Correct. I've got those stats. I'll try to find them here slowly. You guys talk about something else while I do this.
Brett has stats. I'm sorry. They just.
That'd be like me having information.
Yeah, you having any type of knowledge. That's
Baca took the lead in February and never looked back.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
As opposed to Mike Nichols, who took the lead in what month for the for the stock cars?
I'm going to say August.
September.
I think he, you know, he took the lead earlier than that.
No,
I think.
It was
July. Mike took the lead in July. Shelby Williams, actually Zach Madrid led it for the first 2 months coming out of obviously the Western Region races.
Okay. Brett dropping knowledge over.
Wow.
Then
Special thank you to Public Relations Director Bill Martin for all this knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like for a change he paid attention to what happened.
It's interesting stuff to me. Shelby Williams took the lead in March and he led it through June and then Mike took over and won his 12th national championship this year. 12.
How many track champions? From Mike Nichols.
Oh, gosh. I don't think I have that
right. 487.
I think he won two this year.
Two this year?
Yeah. He won most of these. I think if they need to win two, most of our national champions have won two.
Yeah, which tracks?
Won. Yeah.
Want to go Harlan? Not Denison.
I don't think he won Denison.
No, I think he didn't.
US 13.
No.
Lexington.
Lexington. Dawson County.
Lexington?
Dawson County. Yeah, so he won,
what's the distance between Lexington and Harlan?
A long way.
He's in a different miles. State.
Here to here.
On my map in my office, it's about 3.5 inches.
Here, I'll look it up.
Ryan?
On my map in my office, it's about 3.5 inches.
There's three push pins between it, too.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say nobody has won two track championships that far away.
That's quite possible.
I don't know.
How far? Well, Kokopah. And Deuce the Clubs.
That's a long ways away.
I remember when Chance Hollis won the Arizona State Stock Car points a few years ago.
Oh yeah, he did, didn't he?
Because all the races out there were over winter, and he was able to.
He was out there for the winter.
It's a waste.
6 hours.
Six hours up farther.
I think that's going to be farther.
But Baca lives in Phoenix, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Mesa.
So he's in the middle.
So he's about three from each.
Yeah. Still a lot of driving.
Oh, that's a hell of a drive to get the Deuce of Clubs. You're going up mountains, if I remember right.
Yeah, you go up mountains.
In the hobby stocks, I know this stuff because Virginia gives me these stats or Bill gives me these stats. I don't have who was leading in August. I have that somewhere in my spreadsheet. I can't find it because I have so much crap on my desktop.
5 hours, 51 minutes.
We didn't break ties in August, so.
Right. Olmsted, who won our hobby stock national championship, he did it on the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Right. Which is quite. Did we talk about the last time?
A little bit. Yeah.
We didn't really.
I think
track champions.
Mike Smith had. He had more wins, but he had more wins in like 60 some starts.
Right.
And your points are based off of your best 25 finishes in your first 50 starts.
I don't think Olmsted had a single month where he was leading the points.
Probably not.
This is kind of neat. We got new video. I'm sorry.
And Jim's not. Jim's
not. Well, he's across the way.
Updated the year on our Super Nationals footage there. Nate and
I mean,
Garrett,
I'd be okay if he
Chris
was 351
who did,
miles.
Who did all the graphics and everything? Yeah, producer Nate?
Producer Nate?
Ah, see?
Part of the awesome IMCA TV team.
Wasn't best that a band
best
in the
of the
80s?
Business.
Oh, I'm thinking Menudo, not Little. Yeah, not.
Sorry.
Yeah, so Olmsted won another tiebreaker, so he didn't get any monthly awards, national point leader awards.
No plaque.
Like, and the reason why
27 wins or something like that is one win different.
Yeah, the reason why I have this on my computer is because I have failed to send the August national point leader plaques out. So here it is, October. We've announced our national champions, and I'm still sending stuff out from the results in August. Oops.
I don't.
It happens.
It happens.
It's
life
weird.
Gets in the way. Life gets in the way of work.
September is such a blur for most of us here, obviously, with the Super Nationals.
Is there something going on?
With the Super Nationals.
Oh, that thing.
And by the time we get back to the office, because we're all there, Virginia's not
you
even doing points.
It's almost November. It's not September. Okay.
I mean, turkey's right around. Yeah, but we're going to eat turkey in a couple of days.
September goes by really fast. That's my point. So we missed that month.
Oh, trucks are treating. What are you going to be for Tricks or Treating, Jim?
Jerry Van Sickle.
Dang it, that's a scary costume.
I'm going to go scary this year.
Really? I've never heard anybody go as a mouth for Halloween before.
I just got to get a stupid haircut and talk. And a fat suit.
The haircut and the mouth is funny. I don't like fat jokes.
Yeah, fatty. I think I'm going to dress up as Jim.
Stupid haircut, a couple pillows. You got it nailed. Some stupid bright colored shoes that...
They're just red.
You keep them separated, Brett.
It's entertaining.
It is.
Well, we had this conversation last night at my house about Halloween because the forecast for Iowa on Tuesday is just complete shit.
I remember one year trick-or-treating as a kid in the snow, and then the next year was in the sleet.
The
next year was 90.
The high is 37, so my youngest obviously has been planning her. I think she's going to go like cops and robbers or something like that for Halloween. That's her Halloween costume.
Jim, we could go good cop, bad cop.
There we go.
My wife made the comment last night. It's going to be so damn cold. She has to wear a winter coat. She's just going to go as an Iowan. And I'm like, that's kind of funny.
That is.
She hates the cold weather, and she hates the holidays being ruined by cold weather.
Yeah,
and
we're not even going to have time to get used to it, so it's really going to feel cold. Had it been cold for 2 or 3 weeks, we'd be used to it. But
if it was this last Tuesday, it would be everybody be out. There would be no jackets, all that kind of stuff. But
I mean, even like tonight, it's
not like it's going to be balmy down in Waco.
What's it going to be?
45, high over 45 in Waco.
Trick or treating in Waco, it's going to be warmer by 3 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, the bottom drops out tonight pretty much for the most part.
I think this weekend, the weather here is
terrible. It's like crazy humid out there today.
What's Carson? How much?
10 inches of snow in St. Cloud tomorrow.
That's okay.
That's the forecast. So he's here. We're working on rules. So he's here.
Oh, so his wife is going to be happy at home.
He's like, I think he's probably going to head.
Oh, God. Freeze it.
Train's off the rails now, kids. How long did that
take? I don't care if I'd be home or where I would be. 10 inches would be pretty good no matter where.
Get back to the Hobby Stock National Champion, please.
Yeah.
Please.
The Big O.
Is that called? Yeah. The Big O. Oh, boy. Yeah. So then you got Dumpert, who took over the National Point lead in May.
What did he win? Have I heard of that name before?
First time winner.
Five in a row.
He likes donuts.
What?
He likes donuts.
He likes donuts.
Like Drukey. He does donuts. Drukey took over in July with his national championship bid.
His went down to pretty much the last week.
The sprint cars did, because the Leaguers Junior had a chance to.
Yep. Yeah. They had to go race head to head.
Our sport mods, our Northerns, you know, we had. One, two, three, four different individuals leading our national points throughout the months. Spangler started the season with the first 2 months, then Crystal Hempel, March and April, then Cam Reimers, May and June, and then Loaf took over in July.
After he took the billboards down in Yuma.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was his sixth.
That was in January. Time. Yeah.
Loaf to be six, yeah.
That's probably wrote down here.
But not in a row.
Not in a row.
Not in a row.
No.
He had a couple of them in a row, though, I think.
Well, he's got
two or three in a row.
He's got three in a row right now, I think.
Our Southerns are kind of interesting. You got Cutter Spaulding, the first month of Southern Sport Mile Racing in February. Then you got Jeff Hauser. Then it switched to the Jarrett Branson, who led 3 months more than anybody this year. Then it switched to Jeff Shepard, who had won, who was leading our national points. He had lots of wins. And then when it all was finalized.
Bonus points. This is the one that made the...
Jumped David Phillips into our national championship for our Southern Sport Months.
You want to win a national championship?
You got to win
it. You got to race weekly.
You got to be dedicated to winning a track championship. And Phillips got that done and was close enough to jump the win gap that he had between Shepard. And there he is. Then we had Sport Compacts, again, kind of similar, a little jumping around. Kevin Reuter, first 2 months. Then
any relation to Ryan Reuter?
I don't think so.
Probably not.
It's spelled the same, I think.
R-U-T-E-R?
R-E-U.
Oh, so they're not related then.
No.
Ryan's R-U-T-E-R.
Yeah, he doesn't have an
X. Oh, yeah, that's right. He doesn't have the E in there. Then Jacob Cordova.
That's a name I haven't heard forever.
In March, then Sean Leisure. In April, went back to Cordoba. Then all of a sudden, here comes Colby Sabin to lead a couple of months. And then when it's all final, it jumps back to Randall Martin.
I think that's compact. What's Texas so driver. Neat that we...
It's like, where'd he come from?
You know what I mean?
You look at these and it's like, what?
It's.
But Leisure, who's in this list, is also our junior national champion. He won the junior national championship. And again, first time another Texas racer in the compacts, just like Randall Martin. Yep. You've got two Texas guys dominating at the end. They're at the final, which is kind of cool to me because you go back a few years ago in Texas and none of them are running compacts. Yep. They're all running what they call the junior mini down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of junior minis, or that was the division that they ran for essentially for their younger division. Much different race car. It was more of a Pinto with a engine in the, you know, with a, I think they're rear wheel drive.
They were rear wheel drive, and I think they could run like
Esslingers and all kinds of, they ran some crazy. They got kind of expensive, but you know, the compacts have kind of made a mark in the state of Texas for us. Lots of tracks running them, and you're seeing that now with our national championship and our junior national championship coming out of Texas, and also on our junior national championship, the first time somebody has won the junior national championship in the compact division, which is kind of cool as well.
Yeah.
Then in our mod lights, Jace Reed jumped to Stevie Thrope in February. Thrope won it. Thrope, I think, is how you pronounce his last name. He led through May.
Thrope, Thrope.
I remember.
I think it's Thrope.
Thrope or Thrope?
How's it spelled?
Throop.
Oh.
So it's kind of like Thrope.
You think it's Thrope?
I've seen Thrope.
There it is.
And then Rafferty came into play in June, and Rafferty has won, I believe it's his third straight.
Yep, third in a row.
Stars Mod Light National Championship. And real quick on the Mod Lights, I do want to thank Brian Compart and Stealth Racing for jumping in as the title sponsor of that division this year. And
Brian
been good.
Used to race and then started the business.
He's kind of part of that Mod Light Mafia kind of group. The core guys that when we first started doing Mod Lights with Jimmy, Brian has been attached to that from the onset. So
great guy.
Yep. Yeah, Kevin and Matt.
Yeah, Matt, Kevin, Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy and Brian were together.
Yeah, those are the guys that were down. If I remember correctly, those were guys down at the Sugar Bowl when I went down there the first year in Florida. So I call them kind of the core Mod Light guys. That's who the guys I identify with. I went to that first Mod Light race, and I said to Kevin, I was like, you look really familiar. Where have I seen you before? He goes, well, I do the lineups at the Super Nationals.
You've been there before, haven't
you? Oh, hey, yeah, I knew I see you somewhere. Yeah. I've been there. So I chuckled. And then we had Taylor Cool, top. I already mentioned Leisure.
Right.
And then I had we had Taylor Cool lead our and win our Lady Eagle Awards for.
She led that most of the year, didn't she?
I think so.
She was good all season long.
Yeah, she's been fast. She was fast last year, and that didn't miss a beat this year.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, two female
in the Northern Sport Mod division.
Arizona win that back to back. Shelby Alves won it last year.
Yep.
And if you do want to see the points breakdown, the champions, it is on the website. If you go to each tab at imca.com and click on whether it's national points, regional points, state points or rookie points, all of the past champions for those categories are listed all time. So it's kind of neat to look through the history of some of the past champions and how this year's champions compare to be part of history. So.
Yep, it is. Very cool. And congratulations. Congratulations to all of our national champions. And obviously.
Why do you bring these dogs? They're always doing this here. They're always doing this. And you lock them in like here with us.
He's got three. I have two at home. You pick that thing up by its ears?
Nope. I get up by this. That's why they put a handle on this. Sit up here. No, I got to put the collar on. Jeez. Mr. Aggressive today.
My goodness.
Bill gave me all these stats. I mean, there's...
a little harder next time, please.
Collar? You got a little collar? A little ball gag?
There's...
No, I went too far on that.
There's so many cool things.
Flashlight.
I think we'll end up issuing about 675 was the number that I saw yesterday. Once we got all of our champions, some I guess finalized,
right?
Made sure our points and all of our tracks and our series and everything.
Track series.
I think it was 674 or 675.
Wow.
jackets that we ordered.
National banquet at this year?
We have chips?
No casino this year.
No casino? No. We're going to pay him in real money?
We're going to pay him in real money.
Holy shit.
We're not going to give it out in poker chips.
Holy shit.
They get to take it home with them.
Potato chips?
I like
potato chips.
Can we get some dip, though, for our potato chips?
I got to keep up with Jim's jokes sometimes. I got to know where he's going. I've told him this in the past. You got to kick me under the table when it's coming.
So how does that happen when he's at home? Has he got a big leg?
True.
Yeah. Or does he text you? Yeah. Hey, here it comes. Get ready for
good
it.
Good point.
I'm going to try to be
but
cool.
But to all of our, again, to all of our national champions from all of us here at IMCA, we're looking forward to our banquet on Thanksgiving weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska, our reception at the Speedway Motors Museum of American Speed.
Great event. Just a
6 to 9 on that. It is. It is cool. It
changes,
I think,
every year.
It does.
It's incredible.
What changes so much they had to add, what was it, 9,000 square foot or something they added to that thing?
That thing is constantly got bigger.
Yep.
Four stories.
Yep. All kinds of just cool stuff.
Lunchboxes.
So we'll have our reception in there, complimentary food, and we actually serve beer at that event at no charge.
How about a podcast?
Maybe that's why they all come. Yeah, I think we are going to do a podcast there, aren't we?
Half hour.
Yeah, we got a limit. I like to mingle there. I like to mingle, too.
I got to.
So it's from 6 to 9. We could do a podcast from 7 to 8.
Then you have an hour before to mingle?
But are we going to do it live?
That's a question for that guy behind the glass.
No. We tape it.
Be tape delayed.
Yeah.
We ought to do another live one coming up.
Yeah, we need to do. We did that one, and we could watch the people ask questions.
Yeah, we had like 4 questions last time.
Yeah.
I think all three of our viewers had four questions.
Maybe Wahoo would have a couple questions.
What would Wahoo say?
I'm about ready to remove him from Snapchat. I'm on Snapchat getting his messages more than...
Well, he's fine. He's always working.
Shouldn't he be busy right now?
He's always on.
He's farming. What else has he got to do?
He's got like a 42-inch TV up here in the corner of the cab, and he's always...
Plants it and watches it grow.
Than anything.
He's probably busy right now, though.
Well, you've seen him,
haven't you? I don't know.
He's out farming. He's
with the rain, he might not be too busy today. Yeah. I think everybody's out of the fields, around here at least, from what
I've They were working on Highway 30 when it came over there.
They've made a lot of progress on that.
Never ending. It'd be nice when it's done.
It's like Interstate 29 through Sioux City.
I'll be able to get an airplane.
4,000 years.
If Air Force One, what is it, Air Spec One? Spec Part One? If Spec Part One actually fails, like I fly to Boone, and since we're working on the second track over there, I'm flying.
Well, I did stop and check that out.
I'm flying back and forth quite a bit, but the thought crosses my mind, if the engine goes out of Spec Part One, where are we going to land this thing? But when Highway 30 is completely done, we just put it on Highway 30. Because
it's a continuous... Just
fly right over the top of it.
Stay away from the casino, though.
Good point.
Uh-oh. Do you have to take that?
No. Spam.
Oh.
Who?
Spam.
Spam.
It's not just.
It's good.
It's just not like breakfast anymore.
No.
I
got a spam story, too. I'm not going to go there.
Why not?
Because they got a spam museum.
Well, yeah. It's in like Austin, Minnesota.
Oh, God.
I had a guy tell me one time you should smoke spam. Have you ever been to... We talked about this one, didn't we, once?
I don't think so.
Somebody told me
no,
smoke...
No, we never... We've talked about the bologna.
Smoke it.
Smoking bologna.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
good.
So I'm
that's
like,
awesome.
So I bought a can of spam, cut it up, and smoked it, and I'm like, yeah, no.
No.
It didn't. It still tasted like spam. I don't care how much smoke you put in it. But anyhow.
It is a delicatessen.
So, yeah, so all of our champions, we've got all of our letters done, all of our champions.
Track champions.
Track champions, series champions, state champions, regional champions, national champions. All the letters and everything have been made, and all those letters are going out of the office here in the next day or two. I think they started mailing them yesterday. They'll probably be all done, I assume, today, maybe tomorrow. So all those letters will be in the mail, so all of those champions will be invited, are invited to the national banquet. That information is in the letter. So, yeah, if you're planning on coming to the national banquet in Lincoln, it's at the Cornhusker Marriott downtown, and those details are in the letter. There is an IMCA group rate. We do usually sell out the banquet usually.
Yep.
we usually consume all the rooms that they make available to us.
We use 600 people at the banquet?
Yeah, our banquet room holds 600, and we usually write to the capacity every year. So anybody who's a champion is welcome to come to our reception on Friday night at the Speedway Museum, and then obviously to the national banquet on Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving weekend. It's always the same time every year.
So next year's banquet's going to be?
Thanksgiving weekend.
There you go. Mark it on your
whatever date that may be.
When do Super Nationals start next year?
In September August. 2nd.
Oh, okay.
August.
But the date is actually September 2nd, Labor Day.
That's Monday. But
the Prelude starts in August next year.
Yeah.
Strangely enough. It's weird.
Sorry to change the subject, but yeah.
So, yeah, again, so if you're, again, congratulations to all of our champions from all of us at IMCA. And regardless of what that championship is, you'll get a recognition and a letter in the mail. We'd love to have you come to the banquet. If you can't come to the banquet, we mail all those awards out. You'll still get them. We don't.
But only if you go to Lincoln do you have the opportunity for Jerry to mess up your name.
Correct. If Correct. You want, yes.
Hey, and if you can't make it to Lincoln, you know what you can do?
Listen to me mess up the names on IMC TV.
There you go. Perfect.
In fact, maybe that's something we ought to have a segment, Jerry messing up names.
It happens all the time.
I'm not going to say too much about this because it would happen to me.
We could give a copy of the script to Nate and he could put it on the screen and we can watch how Jerry simply just does not follow it.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be fun.
Yeah, the ad lib. Like, you put like what he was supposed to say in writing on the screen and then you just listen to what you actually said.
This is his own word. I mean, just.
Yeah. It'd be entertaining. It's interesting.
It is.
Jesus, Jerry, why are they so mean to you?
I know.
It's not Look fair. At you heard his feelings, Ryan.
Oh, yeah. I'm the one who crossed a line. I see how Ryan, it is, Jim. Yeah. Oh,
how about a little respect for our guest here?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Our Super Nationals champions.
Super Dave's here.
Obviously, are invited as well to our national championship, to our champions banquet, to our national banquet. So our Super Nationals champions, I just want to touch on them real quick. Obviously, you know, they're racing for purses at the events. This includes the Race Saver Nationals and the Southern Sport Mod Super Nationals down at KSP. We recognize all of those champions at the banquet. We'd love to have them all come. Most of them come. Some can't. It is a long distance, and it's a holiday weekend. So we understand our champions on the West Coast and those out in, obviously, on the East Coast and all over the place. Those stuck in snow at the time, you know, are unable to make it. But we mail everything. But our Super Nationals, I wanted to just touch on to our National Championship Awards. All of our national champions get a free driving suit, compliments of Velocita, a custom one. At the banquet, we display a driving suit, what we call a canvas driving suit, but it's just an award at that point. But Brad gets their measurements, and then he does a custom driving suit for him. Zamp gives us helmets for our, I think they're for our Super Nationals champions. Yep. And then Bell, I believe, through Speedway Motors, I think, gives away our national champion helmets, all of which go to Sabisma Graphics up in Sanborn, Iowa, up in the corner of the state. And he custom letters, vinyls, all of those helmets personalize them with their names, their national championships, Super Nationals championships, and he actually customizes them to the colors of their race car. So you know, again, these awards are pretty specific to the racers and pretty damn cool.
Rings.
And then we do rings for everybody as well. We do a championship ring for all of our national champions and all of our Super Nationals champions. So we like to have all those champions come, Super Nationals and Nationals champions come to the banquet where we can get all those awards. And they get jackets too. Speedway does a cool jacket. We're doing track mats. We're doing some really cool track mats through Kelsey Foley and Tanner Black are doing those, helping out with some of that.
Somewhere I'll find them.
The logos were all messed up. I know she struggled with the logos a little bit that we sent, but Dan's on vacation this week, so we'll get the track mats all finalized, and they'll look fantastic, I'm sure.
Maybe she could be paired up with some other cool prize or something.
How does she ever do on our Lady Eagle Awards? Kelsey's raced a long time, too. She was at Super Nationals.
She's been up there before, but I don't think is.
Where's she from? Is she from the West
Arizona,
Coast, too?
I think. Arizona? Yeah, she's from Arizona.
So you got Taylor from the West Coast. You've got Kelsey from the West Coast. So you
Shelby Owls
from the West Coast. I don't know why they all want to move to cold weather, to be quite honest.
Well, ask Virginia.
This is why I'm saying this, because I'm telling you, I pay hell when it starts getting cold, like next week. This weekend.
Tomorrow.
This weekend in my household is going to be not fun. I'm kind of happy.
So we have had a couple times that it's been a little chilly. If you had to turn the furnace on yet?
Oh, I have.
I haven't turned it on yet.
Okay, good.
No way.
Have you turned it on?
No.
I'm glad I don't have the air.
I still have the air on.
I actually got the air on.
Your place is like a steam.
It is. It's awful. And thank you for not stopping by lately. I appreciate that.
That's okay. I haven't been around.
So lots of cool stuff at the banquet. We've been talking about it. We're doing rules meetings, and we'll get to that in a second. But coming to our national banquet is special. We try to make it as special as possible, just the setting alone. But it's a banquet. You know, it can be long. In nine divisions of cars, we usually have hundreds of racers getting awards. We're trying to pin down exactly how many.
Do you know what dictates the length of the banquet, though?
I'm
not saying this to be rude. We do the introductions and stuff before we eat. It's how long you talk.
I didn't talk long last
year. I'm just saying that once you do that, once we start dinner, typically after dinner, we're about 90 minutes. It's not that long. The banquet really isn't that long as far as the awards presentation.
Eating takes a long time, getting everybody their food. I would say that's probably the largest part. But yeah, I probably talk.
600 people.
In the past, I've probably talked more than the average.
But yes, once we start dinner, that kind of dictates how long.
You know what my favorite part of the banquet is? Getting to your assigned table, because everybody's assigned a table. Mm-hmm. Then you have to find out what dessert you want.
We're always moving them around. Yeah. Like, ooh, cheesecake. Oh, so but the food's always good at our banquet. We've been at the Cornhusker Marriott for
a long time now.
A long time. Ever since we started doing the Speedway Museum.
Yep.
It's been at least a dozen years.
So for your first time banquet.
15 years maybe.
Attendees. That's the key. Get to your table first.
And then figure out which dessert you want. And then you sit there.
Put something right on that chair.
Right.
Yep. Or
just eat your dessert.
Just eat the dessert first.
Say that. When you sit down, eat the dessert.
Stick your fork in the end of it.
And you like, then tell the server, hey, you must have forgotten.
And then once everybody else comes to your table, you can try a different dessert. That's where you can
take a bite out of it, and nobody else will want it. Right?
I'm hungry now.
Usually. Yeah, I am too. For dessert.
Don't look at me.
You didn't bring anything?
Nope.
I think that's all we have for national champions recognition.
Know, once again, I mean, it's, you know, congratulate everybody, you know, everybody that raced for us all year. I mean, it's we know it takes us, you know, the commitment, the financial, the time-wise, the sacrifices it takes. And just a big thank you as we kind of wrap the year up to everybody who, you know, makes us what we are. We're the biggest and best sanctioning body because of our racers.
I say it at the banquet in my speech usually, and you know, winning a championship takes an incredibly large amount of dedication. Plus, you have to be very, very talented behind the wheel of a race car. You aren't winning championships on accident in many aspects, and very rarely do any of our champions come alone. They always have significant others that come with them. Some of them have like 20 tables, like Grabowski, you know, does at times. But you know,
which surprises me.
He has that many people who like him.
Jordan's a likable guy.
Yeah,
yes, I like Jordan.
Just like
if the track's in good shape, he's easier to talk to. You know, at the event,
he's not crying about something.
Yeah, but anyhow,
that's why he's so good at the banquet. All he's got to worry about is dessert.
Correct.
Yeah, which dessert am I going to eat?
Somebody's going to tell him you said that.
Oh, I don't care.
But yeah, winning a track championship in any capacity.
I've never won one of those before. I know a couple, but I've never won a tramp before.
I combined some words.
Wow.
Winning a championship.
Win a tramp.
Winning a championship.
We give those out
in any capacity. It's hard, and
we give those out at the banquet. Are there
tramps? No.
So now let me. So if we can buy a tramp, yes. Is there a lady on the other end? And can we do the spaghetti thing?
You and Jim can. If we go, I go get some spaghetti. If you want me to,
I got some. I had some last night for dinner.
Spaghetti?
Yeah.
I think we have a ribbon.
We have a ribbon to that.
Here we go.
Here we go. It's going to go downhill.
Use your sounds. We got to have some place.
Don't you have something in there?
Yeah,
you
this can... one.
Well, yeah. Oh, Jim, did you hear it this time?
I hear it now.
First time he's heard the rim shot. Because usually he doesn't hear it at all. Remember?
That's right. You don't get the sound effects.
No. Some I do, some I don't.
That one we just don't share with you. We keep it for in-house guests only.
I can entertain myself with this thing.
One more. Give us a Halloween theme sound effect.
You got some tricks or treats.
We actually have the sounds. We actually have the sounds of the USRA Nationals on my board.
That sounds like there are a lot of crickets there. That must be Saturday night.
All right. I probably shouldn't have said that joke, but I think it's funny.
See, do you have the sound that the Great Pumpkin makes?
That's also the sounds of the one of Wissota 100.
The what? That's still a thing?
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of that, Carson's here today.
Yes.
He is. Carson is here today. We're on our rules.
Can we talk about that?
Right, in IMCA rules. Yeah, want to talk about rules?
Yeah.
For Carson.
Well, you guys have been talking about it for 2 days and behind closed doors and it's lights off.
The process over the years has gotten much more refined, and I definitely have to thank Dave for that.
There's a process.
There is.
Next, there's a process for this podcast, too. Oh, my God.
Again, we've been through how many comp directors in the last 25 years? You know, 4 or 5, from Bob to Tom Herbert to Tom Gutowski to
Swanzinger
to obviously to Dave. And, you know, we've added divisions. You know, obviously the only division we really don't actively do anything with from a rule standpoint is Race Saver, and that's continues.
What Roger and French is for.
Yep,
French.
Roger and French work on that stuff, and they put it on their website and let us know when they're ready to go, and we try to notify everybody of that. But we've got the mod lights this year, obviously the last few years, and Jimmy, I think Dave and Jimmy have been discussing it this morning on any concerns that Jimmy has. You know, with the mod light division, it's a little different because – you know, we're trying to some extent word those rules the same, but in our terms, so they're consistent with other divisions. And I talked about that last year, you know, safety rules and things like that, issues with Hans devices and neck collars and things like that that we've addressed with mod lights or have to address with mod lights that were a little different from our other divisions. But, you know, the other divisions where we're writing the rules, the other 7 divisions of cars, you know, we've been working on them the last day and a half as a group around here, you know, and we should have them done. We are hoping today, which is October 26th. I don't know when Nate will post this today or tomorrow. So we should, we're planning on having our rules out somewhere within the next, I would say 1 to 2 weeks. So for us, that'll be a little early. We usually release them around Thanksgiving, around the banquet time. So
in conjunction
used
with
to be
that.
The newsletter, the third Thursday in November.
Yep. We'd bring the newsletter to the banquet with us, and that's where people would.
Yeah, but with races like, you know, obviously with Kokopah and starting a little earlier this year than we had many years ago. So we try to get the rules all ready to go in a timely manner, especially if there's any significant changes. I don't really anticipate much of that, and we could have Dave come in here and talk about if we wanted to, but
I'm already having a hard time staying awake, so it's I'm good.
I don't know if it's
that could be its own podcast.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go get him.
Go.
We could Rochambeau for rules. I mean, people think we do some weird things when it comes to rules,
or rolled dollar bills or something.
We have pitch quarters to the wall. Bills, closest quarter wins. Oh. Pick the rule you don't want no more. Ooh. Stuff like that.
I have a pocket full of quarters.
But it's really a much more refined process than it was, I think, since I started here for sure. But over the last 10 years, since Dave is filled the comp role, our director of competition, that he's pretty good at documenting things as we go along for the year. We make notes throughout the year, and he compiles them all, and then he comes to the meeting. Probably the only complaint I have is he doesn't give us enough notice on what he's got on the agenda, but it's enough notice for us to at least be prepared.
Or when he puts something on there early in the season, we get to the notes.
We don't remember why it's on.
Yeah, what? We do have those moments. What the hell is this on here for?
Yeah.
But
hey, but feel.
But generally speaking, you know, it's uneventful from the rule standpoint. So we hope to have him out, I would say, within the first week in November, I think. That's gives cool. people plenty of time. That's a couple of months before Kokopas' first race for next year. Which, and again, in most of those divisions, I don't think we have any significant changes.
Nothing. Well, that's perfection.
Nothing that's going to be terribly alarming.
Get Dave.
You can get Dave. Okay. Yeah, why don't you go get him?
Walk through all these dogs here.
Why don't you grab Carson, too? Then Jerry can leave.
What's that? No, that's why I'm leaving.
Sorry, Jerry. All in fun. Oh, you just lost your... Oh. Yep.
Joey's going to go help Jim.
It's only Jim Joey needs help. Can. Nothing else on
all
your
list? All right, now that Jim's gone, let's talk about him.
No, I mean, there's just so much stuff, so many champions. I see names on here, and it, you know, I see very familiar names, and then I see people I've never met, and lots of names that I'm not familiar with.
I was, you know, like, I tell everybody, you know, people are like, oh, the banquet. I go, if you've won a track champ, like, especially if it's your first one.
Right.
Take that in. Take it in. Take, I mean, you worked, you know, you started in January working on your, you know, or whenever you started working on your car. And then you started racing, and you went all season long and committed to that. And if that's your first track championship, I mean, that's just the icing on the cake. Yeah, you know, when your track has a banquet, you go to it. Right. When, you know, IMCA has one. I mean, it's neat because it is an experience. It's something that not everybody always gets to do.
Those are the mascots, podcast mascots.
Yeah, they can stay in.
They can stay in.
They can go out. The girls will take care of them, too. Door goes closed.
Yeah, close the door.
For the sound.
Did you separate them?
Come here. Yeah, there's some outside, some in here.
Well, we aren't going to have any more jokes with Dave sitting here.
Really?
This yeah, is put like the headphones
this
on.
This is a fresh batch. What
this
do you
is, yeah, this is an all new kind of jokes.
Yeah.
You okay? You going to make it?
We need
I know it's not your first time here.
Do we need a shorter chair for you?
No, we need, to get a high chair for him.
Do you need a booster seat? Booster.
I'm going to need a tissue from the nosebleed.
Hang put on. The headphones on.
Yeah, I got
it. Put your phone down.
What'd you say about no jokes? I think we have a fresh crop of jokes.
Just we do, kind of.
Let her rip, boys.
Talking to the microphone now.
I'm trying to silence
this is a
phone.
Microphone, Dave.
I know exactly what it is. You know, my first job at the racetrack was the announcer, by the way.
What?
No You're, way.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Like the pit PA announcer?
Or? I was like yeah. the infield guy, and I did things from the infield, because we still pitted cars in the infield then.
I thought you meant like,
where was that?
Like track
I thought
announcer.
You were the track announcer. Like, man, he just knocked the shit out of him.
That's just right. Can we say that?
Well, I could just see him saying that.
Oh.
If they, yeah. Yeah, I did the Victory Lane interviews and that kind of stuff.
Really?
That's right.
Wow.
It's like this Wade Unger with no accent.
No, not quite.
Kind Wade of. With
no that might accent. Be your opinion, but I don't think
You haven't seen it yet. Never say never.
Dave's I got think, a whole nother side.
I think next year, we have Super Dave is going to guest infield appearance.
There you go.
Telling other you. Than with his
We could put him band. In the booth.
When I retire, I am going to work for Nate.
You we'll put him in the booth yet. During the compacts.
That's right.
You do you think you could find altered engines and compacts from the
less
booth?
Less DQs. The Dave's in the booth. Yeah,
a lot of credit goes to the tech people, and particularly guys like Randy Andreessen, who did a lot of research in that, and him and I went back
oh,
and forth.
He loves that
and,
division. Oh, yeah. Oh, God, he yeah. loves
That's his favorite
cars.
Class.
I love, the, I love the compacts.
Well, he's like a GM mechanic or some sort of a
right.
service yeah, mechanic
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, he's been in the car.
A very so diverse got, group of people with a yeah. with a variety of skills and knowledge, you know, which really helps with compact because it's such a variety of cars.
I remember one year where somebody said to me, I can't believe you got that girl out there teching cars. She shouldn't even be out there. And I'm like, she's like a licensed diesel mechanic for Mercedes yeah, or something
yeah.
like that.
Oh, no, yeah. She's a,
yeah.
And so the things that people say to us in the heat of the moment, we you know, those situations, but I chuckle when She's even qualified in DQ. She don't know what she's doing out there. I'm like, well.
Well, let's see.
It's easy to be sexist and misogynistic.
It's a little.
Yeah.
It's a little
entertaining. It's easier to point the finger at the other person when you've done wrong.
It's entertaining when she'll, you know, like we're in a post-race tech then or something. We're like, take carburetor off, take this part, and I'll do this. And they're just looking at her like, okay, you? And they're like, yeah, me. So, no. Again, a lot of diversity in our group, different areas of the country. We had 9 states at Super Nationals, I think. So
in the tech area.
Yeah, correct. It's tech officials, right. Yep. So those people take what they learn home.
We had 2 left.
And then we take what they know
and
add it to our...
Bring it to the sport compact.
We had 2 less states of drivers there, though. There was more tech representation.
Sure.
In the compacts? Down, boy.
Yes. Way to go, Dave.
Yeah. Jim's out there.
They keep you from getting killed, Jerry.
Yeah. They're protectors.
The crowd gets unruly or something. They're
protectors of the house at home.
Yeah.
So we were talking about rules a little bit, Dave. We talked about banquet stuff. All right, Jim, that's enough.
Jim's trying to get him riled up.
We talked about banquet a little bit in our championship stuff. We kind of transitioned into rules a little bit, and that's why Jim went and grabbed you. Why don't you just kind of like, as quickly as you can possibly do, explain this process.
And yet you don't think I could be the announcer. Not short on words, 1 minute.
Go back to your, when you had 30-second interview for the heat race winner. Sum it up in 2 words.
The guy who's windy is transferring over to the guy who's even windier to tell him to keep it short.
How many years have you been coming to Super Nationals, Dave?
23, I think. Yeah. I think it was 2000. Might have been 01, but I think it was 2000. Might have been 01 because in 2000 I worked for Chuck at Salina and I was the infield announcer. Yeah.
So yes. Were you like just like a normal tech guy?
Yeah.
Then?
I didn't tech anything the first year. And then I'm talking about at Salina. That's then when I came to Super Nationals.
I'm at Super Nationals.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even work the infield the first year. I did all pre-tech and post-race tech, if I remember right. But I don't think I ever went to the infield.
Back when we had pre-tech. When we could pre-tech.
Right.
Could you imagine doing that now?
Oh, yeah, we didn't have 1,017 cars in 2000.
There were times 10 years ago we thought it was pretty brutal to pre-tech. And then an hour later you raced till someone got the hour of the morning, you know. And then even if the racing was over early, tech still went on. It was long, long days. So not having pre-tech for the tech inspectors, big deal to get some sleep and a lot easier to get along.
Those
with.
Years we got done at 5:56 in the morning.
I remember coming out and the sun was coming up.
Yeah, we had a couple of years like
That's when we started at midnight. God bless the guy who decided just to wait till the next morning at 8 o'clock, though. That was the smartest decision as far as rain and what we're going to do about it is why don't we just race twice in the same day instead of midnight. So,
yeah.
I remember going out, we're walking on an infield, my buddy Davey then, and he was like, if you'd have told me ever that we'd be wandering out here at 8 o'clock and about to start the races, I would have told you how stupid you were.
It's crazy.
Yeah, got to do what you got to do.
Do you have one particular moment at Super Nationals, like one time that stands out as like the one you remember the most?
Not really, because the racers change, and over time the divisions have changed. So many years ago, some of these divisions didn't exist, and so to compare one to the other, it doesn't matter to me. The races in general, working races, whatever you do to work the races, I think no matter what, something really cool always happens, right?
Yep.
And as something really cool comes out at the end, and for all the BS you could deal with and all the personalities and attitudes and of competitive people and whatnot pays off at the end. There's a certain satisfaction of working at the races versus probably the thrill of racing at the races. But as things change over time, then the thing that you remember changes over time too. But it's still people. Cars don't win races. People win races. And we all walk away from the cars, you know. But you need it. Got to have one.
What's the goofiest thing you've seen in the deck? The strangest.
Man, people ask me that all the time. It'd be more likely, what's the scariest thing you ever saw in tech?
Remember that 1 year at pre-tech when Wiener Woken come rolling through with a passed out girl in the passenger seat of his car?
I do not remember that. And I never saw that girl before in my life.
She was from your area.
It's a big area. Yes. There's a lot going on
Western
out there.
Western Kansas has a lot.
Yeah, Supernationals provides a lot of interesting memories for us all. Not just about the racing, but to me, it's behind the scenes stuff that usually ends up sticking in my mind the most. You know, the interesting things, the fun we have, and the not so fun times. The rain of certain years, and then some of the decisions, and then some of the DQs, and then some of the races do stand out.
But then I remember some guy in some middle of the night, and he had a hobby stock, and I hadn't been coming very many years, and he got DQ'd for ported hits, and he's screaming at Brett, "Oh, I have your job," and Brett's like, "You could have it right now."
I had the one where the kid said, "I want to talk to your boss."
Yeah, you don't want to go wake her up right now.
This is back when Tom Herbert worked for IMCA. He said, "I want to talk," and I walked into the Tech 10, and he was disqualified. A Boone local guy, I won't bring his name up, for a ported head. And so, you know, Tom's standing there, and I'm standing there, and he says, "I want to talk to your boss." And Tom looks at me, and he goes, "Well, he's right there." He goes, "I want to talk to Lottie."
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess I'm not in charge. But whatever.
The one thing I like about working here, too, is you can get to the top pretty fast if that's what you need.
Yeah, you can.
You know, and I tell them, if you don't like it, you can always call the boss. It's in the office virtually every day, you know, but there's more than one way to reach him. And so it's not like you're separated from the customers, you know, or the racers or racetracks or anything. Like, you're exposed and you're, but I think that's a real positive, you know. It's not.
We're all accessible, though. I think that's one of the benefits of sanctioning with IMCA, right? Is the people who are making the decisions or the people who are answering the questions. You know, we're like, people ask me, you know, "What do you do at IMCA?" I said, "Well, we're like the race car police." I think I've said that before, but we're more than that. We're like the police, and we're like the judge and the jury. You know, from law enforcement, you know, counselor. They've got, right. And so we're like all those layers too. We're all wrapped up in the racing world,
you know, parole officer.
I don't just tell them what's wrong, right? Yeah. After you tell them what's wrong, then you got to tell them what's right. Cause you want them to come back. Right. We just don't go, "Oh, that's wrong. Read the rule," and wander off. Well, like you said, counselor. And I'm like, "Oh, cut it off." "Well, you want me to do that now?" I'm like, "If you flipped it in the heat, there'd be six guys over here helping you put this car back together. Find two of them and have them fix what needs to be fixed, and let's get on with it."
So disqualifying racers to me is like one of the worst experiences that
it is
of what we do, and that's, you know, we enforce rules, so it's going to happen. But it is
like a boon. You watch them be there, literally here, and then all of a sudden you just,
oh yeah, the crash.
Well, no, like when you have to.
That's what I mean.
They just go, and they become so deflated that it's like, "Oh, my week's over." No, your week's not over. Just,
and it sucks to be that guy. Yeah. It sucks to be the guy to break that news to them.
Yeah,
but we're not giving.
But you do it well, Dave.
You think so?
I think your delivery is spot on.
You handle very well those situations.
I try not to.
It's a hard situation for anybody to be in, regardless of.
It's not like you walk up and went, "Gotcha."
You're that's right.
More like to educate and inform them than you are to.
That's right. So Lou from Sioux City, educate and regulate. Right.
Yep.
So as much as we can, we try to educate them every way we can. We have a lot of avenues for that. And then even if you DQ them and stuff, to tell them what to do to fix it sometimes. And particularly if they're new, like in a compact, the compact kids, you know, you got to explain it to them. This is why you can't do that. And this is why we do that. Not everybody knows the history of the division or IMCA or anything else, or even racing. How did you come to this conclusion? Look, this stuff has been developed over years, you know, and decades. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it just happened yesterday. So sometimes I have to explain that too.
Yeah.
But I much prefer to prevent it. I'd rather have zero DQs. I'd rather get paid to watch the races.
We were having this conversation yesterday about how the rules seem to, I don't know if recycle was the word that you used yesterday, but
cyclical.
It's cyclical because you have, you know, people who race. Well, the average racer, statistically, that we have races about 7 years. start to finish. And so every 7 years, you got to figure you're going to lose that individual, and it's going to be replaced with somebody, you know, maybe that is attached to them somehow. Like children, we see a lot of people that are, you know, when I started IMCA, the guys who are my age have all got kids now that are like Alyssa's age, you know, they're in their 20s. Yeah. They're in their mid 20s and their kids are racing, or their grandkids are starting to race because they're 14. So you start, you know, you start seeing the baton being passed to other people in their family. But then you also, 20% of our membership every year rotates. So the average race your last 7 years, but about 20% pretty consistently of our membership every year is not going to be a membership the following year. So, you know, people ask us why you don't change rules all the time, or why don't you do this, why don't you do that? If you lose 20% of the membership every year, do the math. It takes 5 years and your membership is gone. So if those racers don't have somebody to sell that equipment to, if they don't pass it on to somebody else, whether it be a family member or something like that, or if they don't sell it to somebody that can't use it, then, you know, they're gone, you know, and you don't replace them, or you don't at least, replace them is probably the best word.
You know, then every year, if you make a new rule, then it's, oh, I got to go buy this. And now all of a sudden you've got stuff from 7 years ago that paperweight, throw it, and let's see what we get for scrap out of it, because we can't use it anymore.
Regardless of any rule decisions that we're making at IMCA, you've got people that, you know, get divorced. You have people that have children. You have people that change jobs. You have people that buy houses.
Yeah, people that leave and come back.
That's the 20%. You know, people, we see it all the time. We'll be like, I wonder where that person go. And then somebody say, oh, well, that, you know, he got married, or oh, that they had a kid, or, you know, whatever it may be. You know, so you lose the membership. You lose those racers just from natural life. You know?
Yeah. It's like I say, sometimes life gets in the way.
And some of the consequence of that is the new people all have new ideas or new thoughts or something, or they think they invented something new, but we've seen it for the last two generations cycle in and cycle back out. Yep. That's why sometimes we don't just pull the trigger on a rule, because sometimes it's self-policing. Like, what are we going to do here? Like, oh, let's see what happens. And it comes and it goes.
Yeah.
And then erasers come and go. And so you find yourself telling the same story again a few years later to the new people, like that you just told to people 5 years before, yeah, and 5 years before
the
that.
Same exact thing 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So bell bottom jeans are cool again. Is that what you're saying?
Somewhere.
I'm not so sure they're ever cool, but when I was a kid, I remember that.
Well, they came back. I mean,
they have, I think, a little bit.
Now they're called like boot cut or ultra boot cut.
Never going to be that cool, Jerry. That's all I can tell you.
Can you imagine Super Dave walking the infield in bell bottoms?
Nope.
We could do that for Throwback Thursday.
Dang straight, we could get a big.
Get him some disco pants. Some
white ones with a big flange bottoms and some sparkles.
Yeah.
I think I said this in one of the podcasts. This last Super Nationals, one of the moments that stuck in my mind that entertained me the most is when Wade and you guys were trying to entertain people. I think it might have been, it was before the stock car race or before the big dance or before the mod big dance, and he started playing YMCA. They started playing YMCA and everybody started singing it. And every time I hear that song, everywhere I go, I think IMCA, oh gosh, because it just,
but, you know, see, that's something that, like Dave said, we did that years ago.
Right.
You know, and then all of a sudden it just kind of changed trends. And then it was like, old is new. And
so my YMCA experience. So as my first year as the pit announcer.
Was this at a disco club in Dallas?
This was at Salina Speedway in Salina, Kansas. The guy up top was a radio DJ, and he was our announcer. He was very good at it. And I was in the infield, and he kind of had me pinned down there, right? Like, where was I going to go? Everybody can see me, and there's nowhere to hide. And so he decides he's going to play the YMCA. And then he's like, come on, Dave, let's do the YMCA. And so I'm cornered. So I'm down there doing it, you know, best I can, but I'm not thrilled.
You didn't do the C backwards, did you?
No.
Okay.
But next week, he's like, we doing the YMCA again? But I was already ahead of him, and I'd already picked out a handful of hot girls from the grandstand. I opened the gate, and they all came down on the front straightaway, and then they did it. And then the next week, there was all these other people and all these kids, and it became a big deal during the intermission to come down and do the YMCA on the front straightaway, which was great, but it also got me out of doing it. So, once.
Good times.
Once, twice, three times a lady.
Who's ordering the bell bottoms?
Yellow.
You want yellow?
To go with yellow throwback Thursday. That conversation was going on my tech group today.
Why did they bring up bell bottoms?
Yabba dabba doo.
Can we get the boots with the fur, though? Or?
Boots sure.
with the
fur.
It started with the tote full of those yellow shirts is out there, and I took a picture of it, and I sent it to the tech group from Super Nationals, and I said, if I just kind of push this out the door to the dumpster, you'd think anybody would notice.
They hate wearing them.
Are you Googling yellow bell bottoms?
Damn right I am.
So, yeah.
I'm just going to go straight to Amazon.
This is where we're going next.
Son of a biscuit, I found them right here. $39.95 on the Amazon.
Yellow.
Hey, we got to have fun at Super Nationals.
That's right. If you don't,
we're just like everybody else there.
You don't?
Someone will get choked. Biscuit, Dave. Look at these things.
We always say if you got to keep everybody laughing or somebody's going to get choked.
Go to go to Amazon.
Who knows what he's got for pictures on his phone?
Yeah. Might have opened Pandora's box there.
Well, both of you do.
I can promise you don't want to see on my phone.
Oh, I've seen what's on your phone. Right. Oh, Wyatt, so we're at an hour and Jim
misses us.
Has Jim got the shakes out in the production booth?
So Dave has been burning the midnight oil when it comes to rules. You know, he brought in a pretty good list of things that we discussed. Some of the things he's, you know, it's a great idea. This has been going on. Yeah, we're going to change that. And a lot of them are like, now we're not going to mess with that.
Sometimes I draw a line through it before I ever get here and we don't even ever talk about it.
Yes, me after too. I'm like, nope, that ain't going to happen.
When I read it again, I'm like, oh, this is stupid. It's just marked off now. You never see it.
But the rules, I guess what to take from this rule conversation is that the rules all come from somewhere. They all have a foundation, usually. We don't make them up. You know, it's like the wheel rule. People think that the only reason we have the wheel rule is so we can put stickers on wheels. You know, and the reality is that that's not how that happened. The reality is that the wheels were unsafe.
Right.
And to keep them safe and to keep them on race cars and out of pit areas and out of jumping fences and everything else, you know, the wheel standards were put in place and we have to enforce it, whether it be us or SFI.
That's that cycling and the membership they've forgotten.
They have.
They weren't here. We guys are trying to blow their arms and heads off. You know, getting a tire mounted on a big bead wheel.
Or rip the centers out of a lightweight wheel. There was a lot of things going on when that rule came about in the mid-90s. I worked at a wheel company at the time that rule. I didn't actually work in IMCA, so I can't be blamed for the decals. Jim's the one that gets to blame for the decals.
But there's a reason for a lot of that, and we don't have to relive it again to find out.
Correct. We're not going to revisit those things. People, like, you know, they wonder why. Well, do you really need that rule anymore? The answer to that would be yes, because I think that the manufacturers, the product manufacturers, they can be just as cyclical as anybody else. Mm-hmm. And, okay, they pull this back and things get changed. So 19-pound steel rule with a center that's strong that doesn't rip the center out. There's all kinds of reasons why the wheel rule makes sense. But sometimes people forget that. Every rule has
a reason,
a basis or a foundation. And lots of times people call me to ask me what that is, or they'll ask Dave or Jim or, you know, us that are out at races. And we try to explain that. We try to be transparent when it comes to this stuff. There's not a lot of secrets, I don't think. I mean,
There's my answer to the gray area. That people are like, well, I thought of the gray area. I was like, there's no gray area.
The gray area. Like the guy that had the pull bar that wasn't a pull bar. It was a push.
It was pulling on something, but not pulling on
lift
it, right?
Arm. It wasn't a lift arm. It was a reverse lift arm.
It was still lifting it up, no matter what he thought.
Yeah.
But there's
and that just happened a couple weeks ago,
right? That just happened. So what happened is, as you grow, and
you should have brought that picture because it's interesting.
As you expand, you got people that haven't lived our history,
right?
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're new to the game. They're excited to be here, and now they dive in. You know, how am I going to beat the rule and all that kind of stuff? Sometimes, and it's just natural, but.
I think one of the best things that you say is try to, you know, don't beat the rules, beat the other racers.
That's right. Stop trying to beat the rules.
Stop trying to beat the rules. I think that's know what you own. I like when you say that, and I like to stop trying to beat the rules. I think those are great things that racers can take out of what our perspective is when it comes to how we're dealing with all this stuff. And
Nate, did you find that pants? Divisions. These are the pants here for Throwback Thursday, Lord. Super Dave.
I want a pair of white ones.
Can you rotate that to show what it would look like from the back? You just grab the one picture.
I want a pair of white ones like that.
I think they have them in white too.
I'd wear white.
Variety of colors.
Yes, they have a variety. Hang on, Nate's gonna.
All right,
be the only guy.
Jim's gonna jump back in and tell some jokes, Dave. We'll be back. We'll be done in a couple minutes. We'll
right on.
Finish up the rules. Yeah,
the rules.
Thank you.
The rules meeting will continue tomorrow.
Right on.
Dave doesn't get enough credit.
He'll be sitting here by himself.
Dave definitely doesn't get enough credit for what he brings to the table at IMCA. But he is going to get credit
for them pants. It's been the tech inspectors. Look at that, Dave. Look at that. See, it's even got pockets.
It's not happening. Not happening. I'll be the only
Looks like two bananas.
Dave, it's either those pants or a banana hammock. Which one would you like to wear?
I gotta make
or a bungee smuggler from...
make this a big
budgie
chair.
Bungee smuggler.
Bungee smuggler.
All right.
Hey, pull the table.
Do you have some more jokes, Jim?
What did you learn?
No. Hey, before we wrap this shenanigans up.
Is it raining?
I just really want to give out a big thank you, a shout out.
It's like a tramp. It's like a championship.
You know what? A championship and a shit out.
You know what? There's somebody shit out of luck, but it's not us. The board up at Dakota Speedway in Mandan.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah. We have picked up some sanctions. We haven't even hardly finished.
Yes.
We haven't even hardly finished this racing
have
season.
Made the switch to the good guys
from street stocks to stock cars.
Correct. And as a reward, I get to go to the banquet Saturday night.
Yeah, he's going to go up in the snow.
But
are you going to pick up Carson on the way? Going to get a snowmobile together, get up on a two-up Polaris or something.
But I really want to.
Going to bobsled in. Like going to borrow your dogs.
Dumb and Dumber going up there.
Watch out, Jerry. Thank the board, Bubba, the guys on the board up there. It's a tough decision, but a decision obviously that we.
I think anytime you get in a region that has, you know, I mean, we talked. I mean, you know, you take like Wisconsin up around 141 where they've got that street stock division up there. I mean, you've got a lot of those guys, but they don't, you know, they don't want to kind of conform or switch. So, everybody's kind of got to be on board.
At the end of the day, I think this was an easy decision, but a tough one for the board. And I really want to thank them guys. I mean, any of these tracks that have boards like that, you talk about a thankless job. I mean, they do such a good job. They're so important to keeping that racing going up in that whole area up there.
That's crazy. You get up that way, and it's a board. It's not like a promoter. I mean, there's seven or nine people on the board that get paid zero.
Everybody's got their own
Everybody
job
has
responsibilities
their own,
and ass chewing to take.
I think a track can be run with a board. I mean, I couldn't imagine trying to run a sanctioning body with a board or in a situation like that. But I think
we're kind of a similar setting to that. I mean, you and I don't agree on everything, and you and I and Dave don't agree on everything. And
I don't agree with anybody on anything.
You know, but the decisions that
not even me?
No.
Oh, especially me.
The different perspectives that boards bring to racetracks can be very challenging for us to deal with, for sure, because a lot of them are attached to race cars, own race cars, their kids race, you know, whatever it may be. So it always throws up. This is the time of year as we wrap up 2023, the end of the year with our championships and all that stuff. It kind of enters what we call the silly season for us. You know, we're going to go to PRI. We're going to go to Reno. We hit all of Warpa. Warpa. We hit all of the major, what we consider to be the major trade shows across the United States.
Is a sanctioning body, if you're not there, I think that just shows that you're not a real part of this industry.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily, you know, obviously the racers, you know, they see us at events. You know, they don't see us at Warpa. They don't see us at Reno. They don't see us a lot of them see us at PRI, which reminds me, at PRI this year, we're going to display again like we always have, Booth 3709, right beside Speedway, I assume. Same location we've been for many years.
The big-ass video board.
We'll have our video board showing our videos that Nate and the IMCA TV team create for us all year long, which is kind of popular.
The video board going to be like multiple TVs together or one big TV?
We have 8 TVs that we put together as part of our trade show display, which is pretty cool. I've always wanted it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We do have a jumbotron.
The jumbotron, and then you can lift it in the air, and then let it circle around so everybody sees.
There's restrictions on how that video board,
rules,
how high it can go.
It'd be like the search
rules. Yeah, we don't follow rules.
Yeah,
PRI don't need no rules.
Yeah, we don't make them, so why should we follow them?
But PRI will have our rules to distribute for those who want to pick them up there. They'll be posted well before that. That'll be, 5 weeks out or whatever it may be. But we're also going to probably give special gifts this year at PRI to anybody who's an IMCA racer that attends. Too. We're going to give some special gifts at the banquet this year as well, things that you're not going to be able to get necessarily.
Exclusive
for our champions at our banquet. So if you attend a national banquet, you're going to get something that other champions that don't attend are going to get. Correct. That's
so
the
you're telling me if I am a champion and I come to the banquet, and the guy that's a champion
it doesn't
in a
come
different
to the
class at that same track isn't going to get that award. That
if he doesn't go to the banquet.
If he doesn't go to the banquet.
Wow.
Yeah. Just for the banquet to participate.
Jerry, you being a champion's kind
so
of
attending.
Hard to.
I've used it in the biblical sense, not the, you know, I could win nothing.
But once again, a big thank you to the board up at Williston.
Yeah, we picked up some sanction. We picked up a stock car sanction in Mandan. I think we've added a mod sanction at Wilmot, I think. It's coming back. We haven't had Wilmot sanctioned for 20 years.
We'll have to go to Bill on that one.
Yeah, it's been since the late 90s. So we're adding some sanctions. It's that time of year where everybody's working on schedules already for next year. So, you know, again,
We didn't officially name our champions to the 23rd, but yet we're picking up tracks before our champions have been officially named.
They overlap a little bit. But you look at like places like Beaver Dam. Again, that's we can talk about this forever, but look at Beaver Dam that wasn't sanctioned for many years. We did a little bit at Dodge County in Beaver Dam way back when, about 20 years ago. Yeah. But, you know.
I was talking to Jack there last weekend, and I said, hey, how'd that go up there? He says,
oh, my God.
He goes,
look at their special.
And he was just kind of nonchalant. Well, you know, we averaged about 90 cars and this
on
and that.
On a Tuesday night.
And I go, but Jack, that was on a Tuesday night. Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, it was not like that was the norm.
Yeah.
I go, you know, that's a Tuesday night program, which is Tuesday is normally like a special events kind of night, not something you would do every Tuesday night.
But and they ran a good quick show.
Yeah, you usually start by 7:30, done by 10.
Yep. You know,
9:30, you know, sometimes 9 o'clock, depending on how, you know, everything went.
Speaking of the silly season, I see Park Jefferson has a day
change. They're switching to Thursday nights. Yeah. So it's on, it's that time of year for where we're trying to figure out what everybody's plans are, what they're trying to do. It's a little bit, it's the silly season for us around here, but it also creates challenges. I think Jim thrives on some of that stuff. I do a little bit, you know.
Wilmot, 2005.
2005. So it's been
18
years. But Beaver Dam kind of switched, you know, obviously this year, and their special at the end of the year was fantastic. Oh, had like 40 cars in each class or something like that. It was very well attended. So racetracks deserve that kind of stuff. Racers deserve to have good events. Well-run events at the end of the year, even obviously throughout the year.
I mean, you know, even
higher-paying purses, things like that, and to see some of those, a lot of those IMCA events at the end of the year this year were very, very well attended.
Look at last weekend. I mean, you had Maquoketa with about 220 some.
220, yeah.
You had
Mark Jefferson with 164.
You had Dennis in Crawford County.
Yeah, like 123.
Yeah,
on a Sunday.
It's not like they had 80. They had 123.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on a Sunday for Denison, which is normally not their night, but it just, I mean, you know, the weather worked perfect. I mean, it was a great weekend.
Once again.
And I think a lot of racers know coming into this time of the season, this is my last chance.
Yep.
And the race
fan. But it's good to see a lot of the IMCA tracks ending up on a strong note. It's good for the promoters to see that, and racers and fans.
It is, and it gets back to what we talked with Dave in the room with rules and how we arrive at what rules we arrive at, the consistency of our rules, our unwillingness in many instances to change them. And when we do change them, we like to have basis for those changes, and you just look at, it just brings stability, I think, to the whole system. And I think
consistency, stability, and it really shows that.
I think the racers, a lot of them, you know, a lot of racers, I always tell people, you know, you got three groups of racers. You got racers that will not race IMCA. I don't care what we do for rules. It don't matter. They'll say shit about us now. And if we change the rule
you
that
say,
they
bring your car the way it
they
is,
ain't going to race.
And you're legal. And
you've got like, that group of individuals. That's fine. You've got the group of individuals that are on the other end of the spectrum where they'll race nothing but IMCA. You know, and there's a lot of guys out there that are like that.
And we call them the smart ones.
And then you have a lot of them in between that racers don't want to be put in the middle of politics between sanctions. They don't want to be put in the middle of politics between promoters. They don't want to be put in the middle of politics between other racers. They just want to come race and have fun.
Yeah, they want to focus on their program and just race.
Exactly. So, you know, those three groups are always going to exist in our world, obviously. But, you know, I'd like to think that, you know, when we stay course on what our goal here is as a sanction, that at the end of the year specials and even some of the weekly shows and things like that, that's all reflected by the attendance and what racers choose to do. And you know, our membership this year is remains as strong as it's ever been, you know, and I can't thank the tracks, especially the tracks, the Mandans of the world, guys like you, Jerry, and at Marshalltown, and you just look at the facilities across the United States that are known for IMCA racing, and many of them do very, very well, and they're supported by very, very loyal racers, and it's a really cool thing to be a part of. So,
I mean, you know, you take a look at Marshalltown. I mean, it's been an IMCA sanctioned racetrack since 1984.
Yeah,
I mean, it's one of the longest, and it's got to be one of the longest in the state.
Oh yeah, that's Independence, Boone, yeah, Marshalltown. Those three are the
Webster City.
Huh?
Is that from Sunday?
In the podcast on crickets?
Is that from Sunday?
I guess. So anyhow, let's wrap it up. Again,
it's been an hour, 20 minutes.
It's been probably too long. 15.
1:15 is what producer Nate has said.
We got rules to finish.
We got rules to finish. To get posted. Wrap it up, Mr. Jerry.
Come on, Jerry.
There it is. So thanks for joining us. We still do not know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop. Unless Jim went to a place at the office, we have no idea and is not telling us. So, hey, there's a lot of, you know, it's still, like we said, still some great racing going on IMCA TV. Make sure if you can tune on in and do that. And don't forget that replay pass. You can go back for 30 days. Everything that's archived on IMCA TV. For 30 days for $24.99. And, of course, parts of those proceeds go back into the drivers that are at those events that you purchase. So we do thank and appreciate you.
My God, this is the longest goodbye in the history of man. Do you ever stop talking, Jerry?
Hey, thanks for watching, everybody. Yeah. See you later.
Goodbye.